sit and close her eyes and use her imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite shows. Radio, oh, why did you ever go? Oh, won't you please come back and entertain us? I long to turn the dial again to hear the past smile again. Radio, I miss you so.
Once again, it's time for Yesteryear. A look back at your favorite dramas, westerns, comedies, and musical variety shows from the golden age of radio. Here's your host for Yesteryear, Craig Roberts.
Time once again to settle into your favorite easy chair for another hour of vintage radio. Later on, we'll enjoy from radio's theater of thrills, Suspense. But first, on the lighter side, it's the Red Skelton Show. The Red Skelton Show was a radio enigma. Like many of radio's big-time comics, Skelton came up the hard way. Born the son of a circus clown, he eventually took up Dad's old life, starting his own show business career at the age of 10. With Skelton's appearance on the Rudy Valley Show in 1937, that led to several encores. The main interest was in movies and vaudeville, that until October of 1941, when Raleigh Cigarettes brought him to NBC in his own long-running Tuesday night show. Skelton dropped out of radio soon after his draft notice arrived from the Army in March of 44, losing to, oddly enough, Ozzie and Harriet. By the time he returned to NBC in December of 45 after his discharge, within weeks, Skelton had all of his old audience back. Skelton's final season, 52-53, found him in his original slot, Tuesdays on NBC. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with The Red Skelton Show and Red Needs a Workout from January of 1950. Another classic radio show from the golden age of radio here on Yesteryear.
Major Bowes, I miss the shadow nose, Fred Allen's alley folks, the laughter of Duffy's Tavern, Helen Trent, then we went to Can You Top This? Suspense in the Whistler sent those shivers up our spines. Uncle Don, I wish that he was on. Jack Armstrong, Burton Marge, Amos, and Andy.
Hey, Red.
What?
Hey, we've got a few seconds. Why don't you recite that little limerick about Tide?
We get Tide?
Yeah, sure.
Hmm?
Go ahead.
Oh, I use a box of Tide. Dirt particles had better hide. Cause when I shout Tide, then and dirt's out, it's the truth. And you can use me with pride.
We're on?
Yeah, we're on. From Hollywood, Procter & Gamble's Tide, the largest selling wash day product in America, proudly presents the Red Skelton Program. With Red Skelton, David Rose and his orchestra, our singing stars, the Four Knights, Lorraine Tuttle, Pat McGee, and Dick Ryan, Martha Wentworth, and John Holbrook will be me, Rob O'Connor. Just because he works for MGM as a star clown and is brought to you by Procter & Gamble doesn't mean he's so different when it comes to buying insurance, even if he is Red Skelton.
Now, as I was saying, this policy pays double if you die a natural death.
Well, what do you classify a natural death out here? Hit by a drunk driver? Is that... Oh, we're starting off with a bang now. You know, I don't think I need any insurance. I wish that joke had some. I'd bury it. I feel wonderful. I don't need any insurance. But I do have a little heartburn now and then.
A heartburn? Mm-hmm. Well, how are you fixed for fire insurance?
How would you like to go rinse out a few things?
Now, if you just answer a couple of questions, we'll be all finished here. First, what is your full name?
Red Skelton. That's full or sober.
Do you have any knee name?
Richard Redskelton.
Oh, Richard. All right now, Richard.
Now, wait a minute. Everybody calls me Red.
I prefer to call you Richard.
Look, Hercules. You call me Red or there's going to be another death of a salesman around here.
Huh? Well, very well. Where were you born?
I was born in Vincennes, Indiana. In fact, I'm planning on going back there. 26 years ago, I left Vincennes as a barefooted boy.
Hmm. What are you going back for, your shoes?
How would you like to turn blue?
You have an awful temper, Richard.
Look, I told you to call me Red.
Go on, strike me. I have double indemnity.
Look, why don't you get some insurance to cover that hole in your head, boy?
Please, please. One of the questions is profession. Yeah. Are you a plumber?
No, I'm not a plumber.
Are you positive? I swear you fixed a leaky faucet of mine one time, Richard.
If I had, I would have never let a drip like you run loose.
Well, here's your papers. Now, all you have to do is get a physical checkup from our doctor, and then we can tell if you qualify for a policy or not.
Well, I am in perfect physical condition. Look at my chest. Look at those shoulders. Look at them arms. Look at them arms.
Oh, not so fast. I'm still trying to find your chest.
Okay, I'll go get a physical.
Well, I hope you can pass.
No?
Well, I hate to cheat the company this way. Well, happy blood pressure, Richard.
And an open manhole to you.
No, Mr. Skelton. Did you call me?
No, Mr. Fred. You probably got your hearing aid on shortwave again. What have you been doing?
Oh,
Now.
Yes, I will. I've been trying those new cold tablets, yes. You know. You know the kind that stops cold before it starts?
Oh, they do, huh? Yeah. Do you get rid of your cold?
Yes. I've been defrosting all day. You know,
I thought you were a little lukewarm when you walked up here.
No, Mr. Skelton, maybe you should try my cold tablets.
But I don't have a cold.
Oh, that's okay. These pills will cure it anyway.
Look, don't look now, Mr. Fred, but I think you've slipped your trolley again.
Oh, Mr. Skelton, is that any way to talk to your house boy?
Get a load of the boy, would you? This guy saw the preview of The Birth of a Nation. Back he rode for the doctor. This guy shook the tree for Adam and Eve to get the apple from. This guy's so old, he remembers that the writer who worked here gave me these jokes, had a job.
Now, Mr. Skelton, I think I'm pretty lively for my age.
Lively? Yesterday you went for a walk and a vulture follows you with a tape measure. Oh, somebody's at the door. I'll get it.
Okay. Hiya, Skelton.
Well, if it isn't Procter & Gamble's answer to Mount Whitney. Come on in, O'Connor.
I just dropped by to collect that bet we made on the Rose Bowl game. You ready to pay off?
Yeah, the tide's already in the washing machine. You bring your laundry?
Yes, it's right here. Say, that was some Rose Bowl game, wasn't it?
Yeah, that Ohio State can really play football.
Yeah, but California was at a disadvantage. They were so busy trying to keep those smudge pots going, they couldn't concentrate on the game.
Well...
Wait. That's a joke I told, boy.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Well, tell it again.
I said California was at a disadvantage. They had to keep the smudge pots going.
Well, tell me when. I don't want to step on anything. Hey, I got to go down to the medical building and get an examination. Now, here's a line that sounds like a Chinese name. Want to come along?
Oh, yes, I do. I want to see the doctor's face when he finds out the hair on your chest is a toupee.
Look, boy, don't laugh. I remember when you had a physical checkup and had to jack up your stomach to tap your knee.
Well, you know, it's not so funny. It's the first time I knew I had a knee.
Hey, before we go, get some exercise music on there. We'll get in shape a little. Turn the radio on, will you? Mm-hmm.
And now we interrupt the commercials to bring you Dave Rose and his orchestra. Dave will play a medley of popular tunes by Ted Fiorito. And his orchestra will play anything that comes to their minds.
Well, that's good music for push-offs. Up.
Up. Here's a brand new Tide Miracle. Now with Tide, you can get your wash sparkling clean without rinsing. That's right, with Procter & Gamble's Tide, you don't have to rinse. Here's why. Tide gets the dirt out of clothes and keeps it suspended in the sudsy water. So when you wring or spin dry your clothes, the dirt goes out along with the wash water. Your clothes come out clean, white, fresh. They dry soft and fluffy, iron easily, smell sweet and clean. Yes, I said clean. You know how clean Tide has always washed your clothes with rinsing. Cleaner than any other washing product you can buy. Now we want you to try Tide without rinsing and compare the results. Why, it's unbelievable how bright, fresh, and clean your clothes will be. And think of the time and work you save. You can cut your wash day work in half. Yes, it's another new wash day miracle from Tide. Try it. Use Tide and get your clothes really clean without rinsing.
Tide is dirt out. Tide gets clothes cleaner than all of them. T-I-D-E, Tide.
T-I-D-E, Tide.
Here's the medical building. You know, Rod, now that I'm here, I'm getting nervous.
Oh, buck up, Red. It's only a physical. Nothing can happen to you.
Nothing can happen. The last time I took a physical, I wound up in the Army.
That was war hysteria.
Where is that?
Hey, Red.
Huh?
Look at that guy over there in the corner shadow boxing.
Oh, looks like he's losing, too.
Yeah. Say, I know him. He's Cauliflower McPug, the ex-fighter. Boy, is he punchy. Come on, let's say hello to him.
No, I gotta go up to the doctor's office. I'll meet you up there. Okay.
Hey, Cauliflower.
That's the nut. Stay in your corner, bub. Stay in your corner, man. Don't come out till the bell rings. The bell ain't going yet, you know.
It's me, Cauliflower. Rod O'Connor.
Rod O'Connor, you know me, huh?
Yes.
You know me, huh? Say, you remember the big fight I had with Babyface Irving?
Yeah.
Tell me about it. I don't remember a thing.
You got knocked out in the first round.
That I know, but was I colorful? That's the point. You know, I could have taken a middleweight crown except for the fact that I had some pretty bad breaks, you know. And my jaw was broken in 10 places. You know? Some of them fights I was framed. I was put on the spot.
What?
Put on the spot. S-B-O-T.
Let's not get our verbs in enough for here. Well, your jaw looks all right now.
Yeah, my jaw looked all right, except it should be below my lip. No, no, my jaw. You know, in my day, they told me that I could be another Jim Colbert. Can you imagine me Jim Colbert? Can you imagine that? Me Jim Colbert? Who's Jim Colbert? You know, you gotta watch this fight game. It'll get you after a while. You get punchy, you start hearing bells, you know. Mm-hmm. That's bad when you start hearing bells and stuff, you know. You were saying, answer the phone, will you?
Have you done any fighting lately, Cauliflower?
Only with my wife. Only with my wife. Mm-hmm. But I'm fighting her again next week. And if I win, I get a shot at her old lady, you know. She's wrestling on internet phone, will you?
Well, there's no phone.
Well, no, is that phone. A good humor man went by? Hey,
Do you have any children?
Oh, well, I guess that's what you'd call them, yeah.
I have a little boy.
Huh?
I have a little boy.
Well, I have a little boy, too. Maybe it's the same kid.
You know, Cauliflower, I think you've taken too many punches.
Well, I haven't let any of them get by me. hold it, will you?
Yeah?
6 o'clock, the chime just went off. I can whip any man on the street.
Yeah. I'll bet you can.
Yeah, I can still lick anybody on the train.
How about that guy standing over there? Could you lick him?
Yeah, 6 foot tall, about 210 pounds. Oh, picked up smaller, boy. Picked up smaller.
Okay, how about that fella coming out of the drugstore?
Well, let me see. About 5'8", 165. I wish you'd answer that phone. No, he looks like he's in a hurry. You better pick something smaller, will you?
Well, how about that boy scout helping the old lady across the street?
That's my meat, boy. Here, hold my coat. Will you hold my... You better hold that boy scout, too. I don't want that old lady getting any help at all.
Well, I'll see you later. I've got to catch up with Scout.
Yeah, all right, I got to go in and get weighed in for the fight with the little woman, you know. I'll see you down at the gym.
Jim who?
Jim Cooper. Who's Jim Cooper? Say, Dr. Van Synthoscope, how is my blood pressure? Well, that sounds more like my heart. I don't understand German. Is it up or is my pressure down?
Well, let's say it just lays there. Tell me, do you ever complain of dizzy spells?
Well, no, do you?
Yes. Could you maybe prescribe something for me?
Well, you're supposed to be the doctor.
Oh, I keep forgetting. I'm so new in this country.
Oh, yeah. How long ago did you leave Ireland? Look, finish the examination so I can get out of here, will you?
Well, first I must check your ears.
Right.
Oh, now, they ain't that big, boy.
Now, I'll check your heart. Throw out your chest.
I ain't through with it yet. Throw out yours. It's in worse shape.
That completes the examination. Yes. If you will come back in an hour, I'll give you a full report.
Okay, swell, Doc. Hey, Rod, I gotta come back in an hour. You wanna go have some coffee?
No, I'm gonna stay here and read this magazine. This one seems pretty new. It says Coolidge refuses to run again.
Hey, look, who's in the doctor's office across the hall there, the four knights?
I wonder what they're doing here.
They probably came in for a four-way cold tablet. Hey, listen, I think they're having their throats examined.
If your mind is in a dither and your heart is in a haze, I hate your dither and dither your haze with the magic phrase. If you're chased around by trouble and you're followed by a jinx, I jinx your trouble and trouble your jinx in less than 40 winks. Oh, salagadoola, minchagaboola, babity-bobbity-boo. Put them together and what have you got? Bibbity-bobbity-boo. Salagadoola, minchagaboola, babity-bobbity-boo. It'll do magic, believe it or not. Bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Salagadoola means minchigaboolaroo. But the thingamabob that does the job is bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Salagadoola, minchigaboola, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Put them together and what have you got? Bibbidi-bobbidi, bibbidi-bobbidi, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Oh, salagadoola, minchigaboola, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Put them together and what have you got? Salagadoola, minchigaboola, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. It'll do magic, believe it or not, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Salagadoola means minchigaboola-roo.
But the thingamabob that does the job is bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
Salagadoola, minchigaboola, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo. Put them together and what have you got?
Minchigaboola-roo.
Now, bibbidi-bobbidi-boo.
Hey, boy, yeah.
Well, Willie Lumpum. Hey, Willie, what are you doing here?
Well, let's not get nosy, Bob.
Well, what are you doing in a doctor's office? Are you ill?
No, I come in here to wait for a bus. Willie, wait, I came in for a few shots. That's what I'm in for.
Well, what kind of shots?
Oh, I'm not choosy, you know. I even brought my shot glass with me.
Willie, why don't you go home and sleep it off?
What, and botch up a whole day's work? Look, I don't know why I even talk to you. Every time I see you, you get to look worse and worse. You just don't look right, boy. You just don't look right. I tell you, I've seen a lot of people in my day, but you just don't look right. I've had a lot of queer DTs in my day, but you just don't look right.
Willie, you're causing a scene.
And another thing.
Yes?
You just don't look right.
Out of it.
Why, have I come on and snap? Hey, come on, I'll buy you a pretzel.
They don't sell pretzels here.
Well, how they stay in business then?
I told you this is a doctor's office.
Well, that's a likely story. A very likely story. How can it be a doctor's office? What's that television set over there for then?
That's an X-ray machine.
Well, it's a television set. I ought to know a television set. I'll prove it to you.
I still say it's an X-ray machine.
Quiet, the picture's coming on now. My, isn't Arthur Godfrey getting bony, though?
Oh, why don't you get lost?
Do
I? I say, why don't you get lost?
I got news for you, brother. I am lost. Well, I'll see you around. Pardon me.
Is the doctor in? Here are the x-rays and test reports on Red Skelton, Mrs. Camp, Mrs. Soderstrom.
Well, just put them on the desk there. I don't work here.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'll go with you, boy.
Let go of me.
Mister, would you please hold that door open until I can get my little boy into the doctor's office?
Here, now, let go of me.
Junior, now, come on.
Let go of me here. Let go of me here. I don't want to see the doctor, and I'll bet you he ain't so anxious to see me either.
Now, you do as I say.
I know your scheme, kiddo. This is the same doctor that brought me into the world, and you're just trying to get a wee fun.
That's not true. This doctor had nothing to do with bringing you into the world.
Oh?
That's why he can practice out in the open.
Yes. Which doctor brought me? I know who brought me.
The stork brought you.
Yeah, and then he committed suicide, right? Yes, hey, let's go home. I don't feel sick anymore.
Oh, what about that stomachache you were complaining about?
It's all gone. It's all gone.
I had a hunch you were just putting on a sick act to get out of a spanking. But it wouldn't hurt for the doctor to check up on you anyway.
Believe me, if that doctor so much as lays a widow pinky on me, he is going to need a doctor. Now, I have spoken.
Now, stop being a smarty.
I said I have spoken.
I warned you.
So? Well, I see evidently we don't speak the same language.
Oh, there's Rod O'Connor over there.
What do you say?
Nothing, Junior, nothing.
What?
Dear, why don't you go out in the hall and get a drink of water? I want to speak to the doctor alone.
Okay, I'll go look at these bottles, Dr. Hall.
Well, Rod O'Connor, isn't that you hiding behind that magazine?
Oh, hello, Lorraine. I see you're carrying a pair of empty handcuffs. Where's Junior?
He's out in the hall. Rod, I want you to help me teach him a lesson. You see, every time he thinks he's going to get a whipping, he pretends that he's sick so that I'll sympathize with him and not spank him. And I thought maybe you could act as the doctor and we could try to break him of the habit.
Little do they know I'm listening at the keyhole.
Say, that might be fun. I'll do it.
Oh, good. There's a doctor's white jacket on that chair. Now, you put it on, and I'll call Junior.
Oh, boy, now I can get some revenge on that kid.
Junior!
Yeah, kiddo?
Come in here a minute.
Okay. Hey, Mommy, you know what you're about to... How'd you know I was going to shoot that guy with a bean shooter out there?
Junior, I want you to meet Dr. O'Connor.
Really? Well, how do you do, Doctor? It's a pleasure to know you. You big fat slob. Since when here, Dr. Fratto?
Well, I just started practicing today. In fact, you're my first patient.
Well, bully for me. Bully for me. There's nothing wrong with me, so take your business elsewhere, blimp boy.
Junior, why do you call me blimp boy?
I call them the way I see them. Blimp boy, I don't like you. Now, I'm going to mess up your office. Oh. Since you
think I'm Junior, mixing up those reports.
Oh, Junior, why can't we be friends?
Because we're getting along so well as enemies. And let's be well enough alone.
Well, I hear you've been sick lately. What are your symptoms? I say, I hear you've been sick lately. What are your symptoms?
Oh, symptoms, I don't feel good. Symptoms, I don't...
What I mean is, do you have any pain?
Only in me neck, and I got that from you.
What do you think, Doctor?
Well, the boy does look like he's lost his color.
Well, you see, it's raining today, and some of the dirt washed off. Hey, can I put on me web feet and go wading?
No, darling, no. Not here.
Isn't it beautiful today? You see that beautiful California sunshine going down the shore?
Now, Dr. O'Connor, don't keep anything from me. Is my boy all right? Will he recover? Will he? Oh, Doctor, please tell me the truth. No matter how it hurts me.
Well, let's not get sickening about it. Every year it comes time for the Academy Awards, he goes berserk like this.
Well, Junior, I think you'll be all right if you'll go home to bed and take a couple of teaspoons of castor oil.
I'll drink a quart of it. What? Castor oil? Well, I will not take it. I will not take it. I will not take it, big boy. Why don't you go take some? You don't look so well yourself.
Why, I feel in great shape.
You can't tell me that, boy. Your lips are a little purple, and your eyes are all no whites. No whites no more. What happened, boy?
Oh, you're seeing.
Close your eyes. You're bleeding to death.
Seeing things.
No?
Now, Rod, Dr. O'Connor looks just fine.
Well, take a closer look, boy. That face is pretty gray. Pretty gray. Look at it.
Well, what do you mean, gray?
Well, it's more green than gray, really.
Junior!
Boy, oh, boy. I hate to alarm you, Fatso, but can't you hear your pulse beating? I came way over here.
Lorraine, can you hear my pulse?
Well, I hear something. I thought it was the riveters in the building next door.
Look at him getting nervous.
I think
look
I can hear it now. Hmm? What shall I do?
Well, why don't you sit down and you won't have so far to fall when you drop? Because you is going, boy, because you don't look right to me.
Well, if you don't mind, I think I'll call an ambulance and go home.
Oh, well, wait a minute, Doctor. What about Junior?
You can bring him to the funeral, too.
Oh, boy, I picked his wagon.
Oh, now you've made Rob think he's sick. Just for that young man, you're going to get the licking of your life.
No, now suddenly I don't feel too good. Me tummy aches again and me nose is getting ready to bleed.
Now you just hold still, dear, and I'll give you another pain to worry about.
No. It's awful funny that no matter what I complain of, you always come up with a remedy in the end.
Here. What's going on in here?
We're just leaving.
Bye.
Now, let's see. Where are those reports from the test laboratory? Hi, here they are.
Hey, Doc, what'd you find out? Was there a fight in here or something? Everything's messed up.
I was just going to look at your chart.
Oh?
Now, let me get all your charts together. Here we are. Mr. Skelton.
Hmm?
I have good news for you.
What?
You are going to be a mother.
Over my dead body.
Oh, my mistake. I got hold of the wrong chart.
Oh.
Here's yours.
What's the result?
If I were you, I would settle for being a mother.
Thanks for being with us, and until next Sunday...
This is Red Skelton saying goodbye now, and thanks for listening.
Join us again next Sunday for the Red Skelton Show. Red Skelton is heard in this program through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
From January of 1950, it's been the Red Skelton Show with Red Needs a Workout. In a moment, Joseph Cotten starring in Suspense with You'll Never See Me Again as this edition of Yesteryear continues.
You're listening to listener-supported Swing Street Radio. Swing Street Radio, where the big bands swing. The sounds of the golden age of radio continue with Yesteryear. Here's Craig Roberts.
Suspense, radio's outstanding theater of thrills, was first heard on CBS in June of 1942, with Charles Ruggles starring in The Burning Court. It was on the air for the next 20 years under many talented directors, each bringing his own mark to suspense, making it one of the most diverse, unusually broad-based programs of the air. Suspense dealt with real or life situations. The element was usually established early in the first few moments. Then, through characterization, little touches were added to heighten the sensation of impending doom. That, in fact, is what suspense was all about, the proverbial slow tightening of the knot. Suspense was known as an actor's theater. Folks like Cary Grant, Frederick March, Olivia de Havilland, Gregory Peck, Peter Lorre, and Henry Fonda headed the casts. Many top film stars asked to return again and again. Early in the program, a general format was established and continued throughout. By the fall of the first year, Joseph Kearns, the grim-voiced fellow known as the Man in Black, was aboard as narrator. That continued through the Roma Wine years, with Truman Bradley, another of radio's more distinguished voices, doing the commercials. The Man in Black disappeared by the time the program went to 60 Minutes in 1948. Return with us now to those exciting days of yesteryear with Joseph Cotten starring in You'll Never See Me Again from September of 1944. Another classic program from the radio vault of yesteryear.
Suspense. Tonight, You'll Never See Me Again, starring Joseph Cotten. Suspense. This is the Man in Black, here for the Roma Wine Company of Fresno, California, who tonight from Hollywood bring you a star, Mr. Joseph Cotten. And so with Cornell Woolrich's story of marriage and murder called You'll Never See Me Again, and with the performance of Mr. Cotten as an American husband named Ed Bliss, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
Oh, you're walking out on me.
What does it look like to you?
Like you're walking out on me? Got everything you need?
At least I'm glad you're showing your true colors. I'd rather have found it out now than later.
Didn't take you long, did it, baby? If you're looking for your coat, it's in here.
Thanks.
Need any money?
I don't need anything from you, including your wedding ring. There! And you know what you can do with it.
Sure, hawk it. Well, pick a nice, quiet hotel.
I don't have to pick a hotel. I'm no orphan.
And when you get good and sick of it, come on back and maybe I'll still be here.
You'll still be here. You'll never see me again as long as you live.
You'll never see me again as long as you live. You'll never see me again as long as you live, she said. If I'd known then what I know now, I guess that wouldn't have sounded so funny. All right. Maybe I'm not the easiest guy in the world to get along with, but it's perfectly natural for a couple to have at least one good fight after they've been married nearly 3 months. And I just wasn't going to be the first one to say uncle, that's all. Still, you don't wait around forever when your wife walks out on you, even if you are playing hard to get. So the third evening, I put in a call. I knew all along she'd head for her mother's place, and anyway, she practically told me where she was going when she left.
Hello?
Hello. Is this Mrs. Alden?
Yes.
Oh, this is Ed, Janet's husband.
Oh, yes. How is Janet?
Isn't she there with you?
With me? Why, no. Isn't she with you?
No. That was all I needed to hear. Grabbed my hat and headed for the bus station. That was the only way she could have possibly gone to her mother's place at that time of night, by bus. First, I wanted to find out if there was anybody who could positively identify her as having left. The guy at the ticket office wasn't very bright.
To West Hampton?
Yeah.
Well, seems like I remember somebody like that.
It would have been Monday night, just about this time.
West Hampton, Monday night.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. Couldn't be sure, though.
Never mind. Give me a ticket.
Where to?
Where do you think? West Hampton. She was blonde, blue eyes, good looking.
Sure. I remember her.
Where'd you get off?
I think it was West Hampton.
I just wanted some information.
Huh?
Can you tell me where the Aldens live?
Alden?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're those new people.
Yeah.
Well, you go up the crossroads there and then turn to your left, one down the hill. It's the fourth driveway on your right.
Did anyone ask you how to get there last Monday night?
Oh, we're closed Monday.
Thanks.
The fourth driveway on your right.
Somebody lost their way.
Yes?
I'm Ed Bliss, Janet's husband.
Oh, yes. Come in, Ed. I've been looking forward so much to meeting you. I wish it could have been under different circumstances, though.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm so sorry.
Haven't you heard anything yet, Ed?
No, me? No.
I can't understand it. It's not like her to do a thing like that. Oh, Ed, I want you to meet Mr. and Mrs. Farley. We were just playing a little bridge.
How do you do?
And this is my husband, Joe Alden. Guess that makes him your stepfather-in-law, doesn't it? Joe, this is Ed Bliss.
How do you do?
Nice to meet you, Ed.
Well, I guess we'd better be going.
Yes, I guess we have.
I do hope that your wife, I mean...
Well, I wouldn't worry about
that. Oh, you heard about it, did you?
Well, Ed, you see, they dropped in a little while after you phoned, and we thought...
Oh, that's all right.
Well, thanks for asking us over.
Come again real soon.
Yes, we'll do that.
We will.
I hope you are.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good
night.
Well, Ed, I hope you didn't mind about them.
It's all right. Okay.
Well, come on into the living room then and tell us about it.
Not much to tell you that you don't know, is there?
No. No, I suppose not.
Sit down.
Thanks.
Can't I get you something to eat?
No, thanks.
Oh, some coffee or something.
I think I'll pass up the refreshments this time.
Well, I know how you must feel.
Yeah, I guess you do.
But I still can't. I just can't.
You've painted this room lately, haven't you?
Yeah. What about it?
Nothing. Just looks a little funny, that's all.
You think so?
Yeah, that brick wall in front of the house is kind of new, too, isn't it?
You know I'm a bricklayer by trade, don't you?
Well, now that you mention it, I...
Joe, how can you talk about...
you better go on upstairs, Laura. She's taking it pretty hard.
Yeah.
You seem to be bearing up all right, though.
You haven't lost any sleep over it yet yourself, have you?
I'm not her husband.
This isn't getting us anywhere. What was that?
Laura, I guess she's going to bed.
Oh. Well, I guess I better be getting down to get that last bus.
How about staying overnight?
No, thanks.
Suit yourself. Wait a minute, I'll put the porch light
on. I'd say all right.
Yeah, that's better. By the way, what happened?
What do you mean, what happened?
I suppose you and Janet had a row.
What's that got to do with anything?
I hear you got kind of a temper. Were you a little too quick with the flat of your hand?
What's all this for, the benefit of the neighbors?
Might be. Have you notified the police yet?
No, and I don't like the way you ask questions.
Okay. Want me to walk down to the bus with you? It's pretty dark.
Maybe that's why I'd rather walk down alone.
Now, wait a minute, Ed. I think maybe you got...
All right. Maybe I have. Say goodnight to Mrs. Alden for me.
Yeah. Let us hear from you.
Don't worry. You'll hear from me, all right. Still plenty dark when I got back to town, but I took the shortcut at the corner just the same, a path across a vacant lot. Between the lot and my house, there's a hedge. I was just going through it when I stopped cold. There was a light on in my house, only it wasn't a regular light. It was the beam of a flashlight moving past the living room window. That could only mean one thing, cops. Of course, it was Joe Alden that tipped them off. I just waited, and then I heard the front door open and close. I saw two men standing outside. And one of them went up the street. Pretty soon I heard a car drive off. The other man was just a shadow now, standing by a tree in front of the house. You could see he was expecting me to come from the other direction. I stepped through the hedge and went over to him. Would you be looking for anybody in particular?
I might be. Who are you?
Ed Bliss. Who are you?
Detective Stillman, Bureau of Missing Persons. How did you know anyone was looking for you?
Oh, I'm just bright that way.
Yeah? Well, they like bright boys down at headquarters. Come on, let's go.
Tonight, for Suspense, Roma Wines are bringing you a star, Mr. Joseph Cotton, whom you've heard in the first act of tonight's tale of Suspense. Now it is with pleasure that we bring back to our soundstage Mr. Joseph Cotton, who in the person of Ed Bliss resumes the story called You'll Never See Me Again. Tonight's study in Suspense.
Stood there in the shadows watching my face. Detective Stillman of the Bureau of Missing Persons. I'd been expecting this to happen sooner or later, but now that it had, I was stunned for a moment. He said it again.
Come on, bright boy. They're expecting us at headquarters.
Now, wait a minute. I want to talk to you. I'm in a jam.
Oh, you're telling me.
Not the way you think. Would you come inside with me?
I've been inside. What kind of a furnace do you have in your cellar, Bliss?
An oil burner.
The kind that turns on automatic with an electric cut-in?
That's right. Why? Is there a fuse blown?
How did you know there was a fuse blown?
Was that why you were searching my house with a flashlight, or was it because you didn't have a warrant?
Oh, you really are a bright boy, aren't you? Well, come on.
Now, listen. I don't want to have any arguments. I want help, and I want it bad. Will you give me a break?
What kind of a break?
No, this is no place to talk. Will you come inside?
Okay, but you'd better talk fast and good.
Don't worry. Boxes right down here. Flash your light up here. Always keep a couple of fuses on top of it. Yeah. There we are. Let's go in the front room.
After you.
Okay. What do you want to talk about?
Don't you understand? She's my wife. I'm scared.
Then why did you run out? Why didn't you tell the police?
Because at first I thought it was just, you know, one of those things. And anyway, I knew where she'd gone, back to her mother's.
How did you know that?
Because I went down there after, because all kinds of people saw her go. Bus drivers, ticket sellers. Only when I got there, she wasn't there.
How much life insurance did you carry on her, Bliss?
$25,000.
Quite a lot for a $75 a week architect,
oh,
isn't it?
Oh, her mother paid for it, a wedding present. For heaven's sake, what do you think I did? Bury it in the cellar or something?
No. No, we know you didn't do that. We looked.
Oh, cut it out. Cut it out, will you? I love her. We've only been married 3 months.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Give me a break. You take me down to headquarters now. It may be hours.
Oh, it'll be hours, all right.
In the meantime, if there's still a chance, there's got to be. She's somewhere and she's in danger. I know it.
Yeah, how?
I tell you, I followed her down to her mother's place in West Hampton. There's a guy at the station who remembers selling her a ticket. The bus driver remembers her getting off there, and then she just disappeared.
Then what?
I went down to her mother's house. They hadn't seen her. But there's something funny about it. There's something funny about her mother and that stepfather. There's something funny about that house and about that room.
What room?
That living room of theirs. Listen, you've got to let me help you find her. You've got to go down there to West Hampton with me, because I've got a hunch somehow that I'm the only one who can find her.
All right, Bliss. All right. I don't know why, but I believe you.
If you do, you'll go?
Yeah. And I shouldn't believe you either, because...
Because what?
What was your wife wearing when she ran out on you Monday night?
What was she wearing?
Yes. You must remember what she was wearing.
Well, she was wearing a gray flannel suit, a skirt and jacket, you know, a pink silk shirtwaist, patent leather high-heeled shoes, and those crazy little hats.
Any baggage?
Yeah, a little tan suitcase.
You're sure of that?
Sure.
Well, that's why I shouldn't believe you.
Why not?
Because when you find somebody's clothes around, you usually start looking for the body right nearby.
Well, what do you mean?
They weren't burnt up because that fuse had blown. But we found every one of those things in the furnace down in your cellar about 20 minutes ago.
He said that I knew there wasn't much time. But he was going up to West Hampton with me anyway. That was the main thing. Of course, first he had to route out the bus driver, the ticket seller, and check my story with them just to be sure I wasn't trying to pull a fast one. But that was all right. I'd expected that. And we climbed into the police car and headed out to West Hampton. He believed me now, all right. That car couldn't have been pushed any harder if I'd been driving it myself. Still, it was getting daylight and we got there. Parked the car a little ways down the road and walked toward the house. See what I mean, Bert? Take that brick wall, for instance.
Well, what about it?
It's new. What did he build that for? It's not tall enough to hide the road. It's not even tall enough to keep a dog out. Why'd he build it?
Well, maybe he built it to keep in practice. Come on, let's go in.
Awfully quiet.
Well, why not? They're probably in bed, where I'd be if I hadn't let you talk me into this.
Listen, Bert, you don't think...
I'm here, ain't I? Go on, ring the bell.
No answer.
Keep trying.
Shades are all down. I don't think they're
in. Come
on,
let's try the back door.
Shades are down on this side of the house, too. Look, the garage is empty.
Yeah. Well, I guess our birds have flew the coop, all right.
Bert, I don't like this.
Come on, we'll try this back door anyway.
Uh-oh.
Locked.
Here's an axe.
I'd like to try my keys first. There, that's got it.
This the way to the front of the house? I guess so. I've never been back here.
Yeah, this is it. Here's the front hall.
There it is.
What?
That room. The living room I was telling you about.
Well, what about it?
Snap on the lights.
All right, I still say, what about it?
I don't know, but don't you get something funny about it?
Oh, what?
Well, the lights, or something about that fresh paint, the rug. There's something, though I know there's something.
Oh, come on, we're wasting time. There's something screwy about the whole joint.
We went over the place from top to bottom. I wanted to get back to that room, and time was awful important. But Bert Stillman wanted to look into everything, which was only right and natural, and then we ran into something that was just about the last thing I expected.
What's this door here?
I don't know. I thought we'd covered everything on the ground floor before.
It's locked.
Yeah, it must be some sort of back bedroom.
Oh, doggone it. The keys won't fit this one.
Honey, only room in the house that was locked.
Well, maybe we've got what we're looking for. Give me that axe.
Bert, don't you see? If she was here and they've gone, they must have taken her.
Well, who's she?
Mrs. Alden.
Your wife's mother?
Yeah.
Where's your daughter?
Oh, please.
Come on. Where is she?
I don't know.
Was she here?
Yes, but...
Where is she now?
I don't know.
Did she leave with your husband?
No. Why
didn't you tell me she was here the other night?
Joe told me not to. She was here, but the next morning Joe told me she'd left. And this morning he left.
Look, what did you lock yourself up in here for?
I knew when Joe left that something terrible. And when you came, I was frightened. I just...
Come on, Ed. Where to? Don't you get it? For some reason, the stepfather's put a snatch on her. We've got to put a call through to headquarters. Get the highway patrols to watch for them.
What about her?
Oh, she comes along.
Oh, please.
Come on. Yes?
There's something wrong about
you. You bet your life there is.
Oh, no, I mean, why would he do it? What motive would he have?
You let me worry about the motive. You worry about your wife.
Got some connection with what's wrong about that room, whatever it is.
Will you forget about this room? We've got to get...
I want to look just once more. I know there's something.
Listen. Do you want your wife back or don't you? There's no...
Bert, I've got it.
Got what?
It's lopsided. Don't you see? It's not on the square.
Are you crazy?
Oh, no, I'm an architect. Look, the light's on in the middle of the ceiling. The window's on in the middle of the wall.
So what?
The design on the rug is wrong. It's cut off too close to that wall.
Bert.
What? That wall. That's why the room has just been repainted. That's why he built that brick wall in front of the house.
I don't get it.
One wall of this room is a dummy. Built out in front of the real one. That's why the room looks lopsided. That's why he built a brick fence, to get bricks without arousing suspicion.
Which wall?
That one. And Bert, it must be hollow.
Give me that axe.
You don't think that the Janet...
Bert,
give it to me. Let me.
Get back, you hear me?
Bert. Mrs. Alden. Is Janet... Answer me, Mrs. Alden.
Ed, didn't you say your wife was young?
23.
Well, then you can look. This is an older woman.
Oh.
Do you know her?
No.
Well, there's your motive.
Yeah.
Who could it be?
I don't know.
She must know. The mother.
She can't even talk.
Ed, you'd know if she was the mother.
Of course I do. No. I wouldn't. I never saw Janet's mother until I came here to the house Monday night.
Mrs. Alden. Mrs. Alden, answer me.
I'm not Mrs. Alden. That's Mrs. Alden!
Just a question of time now, whether we'd get back there in time to stop it. It all fit together now, and what Brett didn't know, he got out of a woman on the way back.
Did you know Joe Alden before?
No. Not before I came to their house in Eastport to take care of her. I'm a nurse. Then... Joe and I...
Uh-huh.
Well, we...
Who got the idea to kill her, you or Joe?
He did. When he saw me giving her a sedative once, she was pretty sick.
Oh, premeditated, huh? Why did he do it?
Money, of course.
She kept a lot of bonds around the house. That's what Joe wanted.
Is that why you moved from Eastport to West Hampton?
Yes. Nobody knew us in West Hampton. We moved in at night. They thought there was only two of us. They thought I was the real Mrs. Alden.
When did he do it?
About a week after we got there. One night. By morning, she was where you found her.
better than 80 most of the way, but I still didn't think we'd make it, naturally. Bert was afraid to put the local cops around the house for fear Alden would spot them first and take Janet away and do it somewhere else, if he hadn't done it already. Because Bert Stillman had to picture Cole now. Janet had come to the West Hampton house and found her mother was missing before Alden had been able to make his getaway. So Alden had been made to kill Janet, too. Bert knew where he was taking her because of the clothes and the furnace in my house. That was a tip-off that Alden was going to try to plant it on me. It was the only break I had. At least I knew where to look if I could get there in time. On the outskirts of town, we picked up a police escort, but Bert made them lay off when they got near the house. We drove up the side street and parked a little ways off. We walked up to the house. There was a car in front of it.
That Alden's car?
Yes.
All right. You're coming in with this lady, but the first sound out of you, and I'll shoot. And I mean that.
I know.
Got your keys, Ed?
Yeah.
Quiet now.
Yeah.
Look. There's a light. That's the door to the cellar.
Come on.
Listen, listen. He's digging. The light's gone out. He must have heard us. Put on your flashlight. Let's go.
There he is. Ed, why, you? Hey, Ed. What'd you do that for? Killed my wife, didn't he?
Switch on the light. Maybe it isn't too late yet.
There she is. She's dead.
Yes, yeah. Chloroform. You smell it? Get that cloth off her face.
Too late, can't you see?
Yeah, I'm afraid. What are you doing carrying a gun, Ed?
I got a permit. Anyway, what's the use of asking questions like this now when...
Look, she's moving.
What?
Yes,
what?
She's alive. Here, give me a hand. Ed, help me.
Ed.
Where are you going, Ed? Put up your hands, Ed.
Okay, they're up.
Come on back down here.
All right. Take it easy. I'm coming.
Ed, you could at least have done it yourself. Instead of hiring murderers.
You do it for the money. What do you think? For fun?
Go ahead, talk.
Anything to make you happy. Would have been perfect if Alden had killed him when he first got her in the cellar, like I told him to. Maybe he had a sneaking idea I was going to double cross him. He was stalling until the last minute. I don't know. Anyway, won't do him much good where he is.
What did you have on him, Ed?
The mother, his wife. I'd been up there before alone. I knew he'd killed his wife because I'd seen a picture Janet had of a real mother. And I spotted the room right away. I told Alden I'd split the money with him if he did it. And if he didn't...
Mm-hmm. Go on.
Well, I knew I could pick a fight with Janet. I knew she'd run up to her mother's. Then I went up there to make it look good. After I left, Alden was to call the cops like he did. You'd take me down here to headquarters, and while you were giving me the old third degree, Alden was supposed to plant the body in the cellar. That way... I was in the clear because you'd know I couldn't have done it while I was down here talking to you. And you'd know she hadn't been there before because you'd looked. That's why I planted the clothes in the furnace, remember? So you would look.
Smart.
I had an alibi and nobody had a thing on Alden unless I squawked. And he had to take that chance. Looked pretty good there for a while, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, your wife's outside. You... Want to say anything to her?
Hmm? Yeah. Just tell her I said, you'll never see me again.
And so closes You'll Never See Me Again, starring Joseph Cotten. Tonight's study in... Suspense. Suspense is produced and directed by William Spear. Joseph Cotten appeared through the courtesy of David O. Selznick and is currently being seen in the Selznick production Since You Went Away. Suspense.
Presented by Roma Wines.
From September of 1944, it's been Joseph Cotten starring in You'll Never See Me Again. Another tale calculated to keep you in suspense. Well, that's all the time we have on today's program, but join us again next week and invite a friend to listen to enjoy more great moments from the golden age of radio. I'm Craig Roberts with those fabulous days of yesteryear. Till next time, so long.
Radio, remember radio. We'd sit and close our eyes and use our imagination. A comedy, mystery, a fireside chat. Together we sat, listening nightly to our favorite show.
Preceding program, copyright Edgewater Productions. All rights reserved.
KSSR-DB San Francisco, where the big bands swing.